want you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all want unconditional love. Talking about the stuff that don't wear off, it don't fade. Now it lasts for all these crazy days, these crazy nights. Whether you wrong or you right, her mama can still love you, still feel you, still there for you, no matter what.
Come listen to my truest thoughts, my truest feelings. All my peers doing years beyond drug dealing. How many caskets can we witness before we see it's hard to live this life without God? So we must ask forgiveness. Ask Mama why I got the urge to die. Witness the tears falling free from my eyes before she could reply. But we were born without a silver spoon. My broken down TV show cartoons in my living room. One day I hope to make it a player in this game. Mama, don't cry, long as we try, maybe things change. Perhaps it's just a fantasy, a life where we don't need no welfare. Wish with our own family. Maybe it's me that caused it, the fighting and the hurting in my room crying, cause I didn't want to be a burden. Watch mama open up her arms to hug me, and I ain't worried about a damn thing. With unconditional love, this game's vision in your eyes to see. No things change, the future's still inside of me. We must remember that tomorrow
said, Ample Minister Jew, there's this concept of let go and let God. I want to talk to you, I want to throw it out there before I ask a question. I want to ask you real quick about our definitions of reality. And when I say definitions, I mean, say Minister Jew says, I want to be a millionaire. He goes in meditation at night. He's like, you know what? This I am shit is real. I already am a millionaire. I don't want to be a millionaire. I am a millionaire. So if I am it, It has to, because like you said, the matter is on the tail end. It's on the tail end of consciousness. It's just a mirror. That's all it. It has no mind. It is just a mirror. So he says this, right? As soon as he says it, something that remember what I said, family definitions. Something that in his childhood he defines as bad happens. He gets fired from his job. After he gets fired from his job, he gets an argument with a family member that he lives with, so he's forced to relocate somewhere else. After he relocates somewhere else, the girl that he was with for a lot of years, they get an argument, they break up. Minister Jew is like, what the fuck is going on? As soon as I said I wanted to be I am a millionaire, I noticed all of these quote-unquote bad things happening to me. Mm-hmm. A year down the line, where Minister Jew moved, he meets his future wife, and he also finds out exactly how he's going to make that $1 million come about. So he finds a partner in that location, and he begins the journey of becoming a millionaire. 5 years later, Minister Jew is a millionaire. So with mm-hmm. that being said, these definitions that he had of what's bad could have held him back, but he just kept going. So please tell me, talk to me, because we get stuck. A lot of people say, man, As soon as I try to do something good, some bad shit happened. What the, I mean, like, goddamn, I might as well just stay away. I'm not a reality. So talk to me about this concept of let go of God and not letting your current definitions of what you feel is good or bad or right and wrong hold you back from where you got to go.
Right. Hey, Jew, give them a real life case scenario. We just got this phone call last week, literally. Last week on two different examples that called you and had this didn't get a job or got fired from the job scenario. And give them those two
Which one? Both of them,
because we're going to shine light on both realities and what happened.
All right, so I had a phone call from a gentleman who's familiar with our work, and he said that he got a letter in the mail on Monday that said, we're going to have to let you go from the Chicago public school system because they did a lot of cuts on teachers here. But this gentleman is in the I Am Prosperity group. He's hit the lottery. He, you know, just things have been happening for him. And so he said, well, I'm not going to take this as bad news. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at this as a blessing that these people sent me a letter saying that I am going to be cut and lose my financial stability, which would appear to be very important to this man and his family. He got a whole wife and children. But because he's in our group, he said, I'm not going to look at it that way because we have mastered changing people's perception on life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the same day he gets a phone call from another school that he used to work for. Lady calls him, principal calls him and says, hey, you know, I got a position over here open, and I would like to know if you want to take it. Are you still working for the other school? He says, matter of fact, no. I just got a letter in the mail today saying that they will no longer need my services. The principal at the other school says, great. That means you could take the job here.
That's right.
Well, he got another phone call the same day from another school offering him another position in another suburb in the Chicagoland area. So now, right, he's got two job opportunities.
Same day. Wow.
When one of them that just got clipped, right, a normal person, right, what I call regulars, I call normal people regulars. It's just regular person. A regular person would have looked at that situation and they probably would have thought that they were going to be in big trouble in Little Chinatown. But
He did not think that way, and because he didn't, his magnetism surrounding himself and his own state of awareness brought to him exactly what he know he needed. Now, had he been in the dumps about it, it would have been a series of events that probably would have had this man's hair falling out in 2 weeks. Because the quantum responds immediately to a person who is aware of its function. So he's become very aware through listening to Minister Jew and Noble Ampu talk about these different states and these different properties of this quote-unquote invisible world. So then another scenario happened where a young lady that I know, she had got a position, offered a position. Now, this is all on the same day. Two phone calls are less than 20 minutes apart. She gets a phone call, right, and says, hey, this job, she was supposed to get a manager position. She interviewed for two positions, right? And when she went in, they offered her a manager position. They interviewed her for a manager position. She went back on a second interview, and they still had the manager position on a table for her to take, along with the other positions that she initially went in for, because she didn't go in for the manager position. She actually went in for another position, and then they just offered her the manager position on top of it, right, because they just liked her presence so much, right? So then that job called her the same day this gentleman had this issue going on with him, and they removed the manager position off of the table and said, you know what, on second thought, we're going to go with the initial position that you initially put in motion here, et cetera, et cetera. But along the journey and waiting to get the phone call to know, you know, exactly where she was going to be placed, she started having inconsistencies in her psychology, okay, which caused you to run interference patterns. And her perception, right, she had a not grateful or less than, you know, she didn't have gratitude, even though you had been unemployed for years. Now you have a situation where you're going to be able to be employed, and you still shun it. So you're looking at a paradox here. You're looking at somebody who hasn't been in work for years, actually got a job opportunity and still bit her teeth down on it. And here's another man who's been working for years and just lost a job with a whole family, but perception about the situation was different. And so what we call blessings seem to line up in a different favor, even though to somebody thinking with logic, they would say, well, damn, that really happened backwards. So it is about where you're at in your own state of awareness, man. That is the key. How are you perceiving data and information in your immediate circumference? What are you thinking about every day? What are you feeling when you wake up in the morning? How are you going about to create your day as a conscious creator? And that's what makes the difference in this world of physical matter, man.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right. Greetings, everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Haru Presents. And Haru Presents, the segments that I do in Haru Presents is me pretty much kind of painting a picture of education, self-education, to you as a projective and a perspective, from my perspective, in which, you know, that I started to learn and started to come to draw my own conclusions, on many different array of topics. What do I mean by that? Well, in this particular broadcast on Haru Presents, I'm going to be using Minister Jew's lecture that he did on the hidden power of emotions and feelings. Now, when I was in a dark place, and when I'm still in dark places, I tend to always go back to the basics. Going back to the basics can definitely help you. So in my beginning, what I learned to do early on was when we're doing our healing work, to start to organize things. You know that we can be all over the place, you know, but start to organize things in your life. You know, start to compartmentalize. And excuse me if I'm butchering up, but the English language is the best language anyway. But you know what I mean. But section off, compartmentalize, you know, your areas. You know what I mean? Life class emotions was 2013. You know, 2014 was life class love. You know, 2016 was shadow work. You know what I mean? I've given myself like a year to truly tackle one area, not trying to fit one area, you know, overnight. Like, you know, guys, we got to pace ourselves with these things. These things come in moderation. You know, fall in love with your own process and never allow anyone to sway you from your own process, you guys. That's the beauty in all of this. So, you know, we can take suggestions from others, as even in this particular clip, but always, always, always draw your own conclusions. Never truly, I'm not telling you what to do. You do what you want. But a good suggestion would be to never really adopt anyone else's perspective as your own, yet rather a subjective for you to draw your very own conclusions, okay? So, life class emotions, you know, figure out what that may be for you. So this particular lecture, guys, was it for me. This is Ralph Smart. I provided the YouTube link in the in the show notes, so you guys can be directed to Minister Jew's channel, you know, his website, all of that. You know, you can reference that out, you know, using that link, that YouTube link to reference him, guys. They are Nepal, I think it is, but it's him and another guy. You know, they do it together a lot, and they brought me through some real challenging times to get, you know, clarity and understanding. Check out their work, guys. Amazing, amazing work. All right, so this is a hour clip. It's called The Hidden Power of Feelings and Emotions, guys. So just remember to organize your healing. There it is. Remember to organize your healing. Check out our website, www.hansonawarenessradio.net. I have added a section to the website called Haru's Favorites. So what I'm going to be doing is compiling things such as this, YouTube clips, books, website references, all of these things about Haru's Favorite that, you know, truly got me along in my journey. You know, it helped me. Maybe it can help you, right? All right, guys. What do we have coming up? What is today? She's Wednesday. Mary Fox has moved to Monday. She should be coming back next Monday. We have a classroom. Next in the classroom, little boy, you do matter. Our healing segments at Ear are now going to be titled Let's Talk Health with the Ear Family. All right, so going forth, it will no longer be healing time. It will be Let's Talk Health with the Ear Family, okay? And Let's Talk Health with the Ear Family, guys. It's pretty much, you know, we all come together and we all discuss our different perspectives on the topic of healing. All right? All right, guys. So without further ado, let's go ahead and, the classroom is 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central. And my Spiritual Soul Sunday is also Sunday, same time. All right? All right, guys. Love you. Not ya, but not love ya, but love you. Right? Say it with your shit.
Peace, family. Welcome to another episode of Underground Railroad Productions, Underground Railroad Radio.
I am your host, Brother Rich. I'm back. Second time on the show. Minister Jew, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Rich? How you feel?
Everything is absolutely perfect, Minister Jew. Absolutely perfect. And I'm trying to stay on that frequency right now. But
That's right.
I'm glad to have you. You know, the particular subject we deal with, like I said the first time, you know, it's close to my heart. And we're dealing with a heart subject today. We're dealing with the power. I want to talk to you about this power, the power of emotions and feelings. And the reason why I want to talk about that is because emotions and feelings are key element when it comes to manifesting your reality or manipulating this hologram we call, you know, third dimension or space-time reality or whatever word you have for it. It's a very key ingredient. But you know what, Minister Jew? It's got a bad reputation. And that's what I want to start out by talking to you about. Anytime you talk to anybody about emotions, you know, like, let me just speak from my personal experience, since everything is subjective. My personal experience coming up, learning what I had to learn, emotions always got a bad reputation, like, oh, you got to suppress emotions, oh, you can't be emotional, oh, you can't show emotions. They always said how emotions was a very low vibration. When you become emotional, it's a real low vibration. Then when I did more and more research and study, I see how important it is. And I couldn't, and I'm like, well, damn, why do people think so bad of somebody who might be emotional? So why do you think emotions and feelings, before we really get into it, why does it have such a bad reputation if you're an emotional person?
Oh, man, that's a great question. well, you know, society in a certain way has implemented that amongst the people, man, especially for men. It's always been man shouldn't show his emotions and yada, yada, yada. But I think on a deeper level, outside of, you know, some of the outer influences, shall we say, I think subjectively, I think we're all aware that we're God on some level, whether it be to the most grandiose scale or down to the most minute level of that, of your being awake to that level, that because we're not using our emotions constructively to build the reality that we want, right, then something inside of us is almost like, well, no, don't use them. Don't use them, because you don't know the power and the potential that it has. So it's almost like a safety valve, I would kind of say, like, because we're so used to seeing so many negative things that we express these things in a negative light. You know, we're always feeling bad. We're always seeing bad news. People always make references to what they would rather not have versus what they would have. So it's like this switch that's in the inside of us that's like, listen, you don't know that these are the things that's going to propel good or bad into your reality. So how about we just freeze that? You know what I mean? That's what I think is going on internally. But tonight I kind of want to discuss how we don't have to walk that path anymore and actually use these feelings and emotions regularly to create the objective circumstances of our lives.
I think that was an excellent, when you said we look at it as a safety valve. I think you're definitely right about that. Sort of a better to be safe than sorry kind of mechanism, since we don't know how to use it. Because you're right, whenever we do hear the word emotional, you hear about a man shooting up the bank out of rage, or, you know, somebody killing somebody out of rage. So is somebody doing something out of rage. So you're absolutely right. When we talk about emotions, that's often the first thing that comes to a person's mind. What's the difference, Minister June, between feelings and emotions? Or is it just wordplay?
From my perspective, I think it's just wordplay. You know, you feel, you know what I mean, and that causes you to emote. It's a simultaneous two-step. They're entangled together in the language of the quantum. They're entangled together. You can't have one without the other. And I think that primarily it's just a play on words, and that those two things are connected at the hip. And the emotive part is what gets you to express how you feel. You know what I mean? That's generally what you project out to the world. How somebody else is viewing exactly what it is that you're displaying, for them to see what your temperament is. But feeling is the part of you that is the most sincere, the realest aspect of what's going on in your being at the deepest level of who you are. And a lot of times, what tends to happen is, I mean, you see it all the time. People say certain things, and then other people respond based off how they feel, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what that person said or that's how the message was relayed. So somewhere deep down in who we are and what we are, we're contextualizing based upon our own experiences, things that have happened before, things that we've seen happen to other people. And we kind of generate a feeling based upon our own perception of what we think somebody's trying to express to us. So that's the deeper level of what we are, is the feeling aspect.
When you hear somebody say, you know, you got to trust your gut instinct, is that a word, for lack of better words, they're saying trust your heart or trust that inner feeling?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is roll with your instinct. It's interesting that you say that, because it's a brain part called the amygdala that actually deals with these type of temperaments, you know. And this particular brain part, sometimes they say it's so easily stimulated, right? It takes the least amount of electricity to stimulate this particular brain part, that they say sometimes people don't even stop to think when they make a reaction or they're responding to something. And a lot of times that is because, you know, you're always dealing with this fight or flight, and sometimes you need to be able to make a decision without really processing the data from the instinctual part of yourself, you know, to survive or to keep it moving or to make the best decision in the moment. So absolutely, going with your gut is just like, you know what, this is what just feels right to me, so I'm going to make this decision based off that particular medium.
So would you say it's safe to say that we need to start thinking with our heart and less with our brain?
I think what needs to happen is we have to use both, because they go together simultaneously, just like emotions and feelings do. You can't have an objective reality without the imagery that you're going to generate from your mind or your brain, the faculties and the structures that actually operate in the brain, and the feeling component coming from your heart saying, you know, I'm sincere about what it is that I'm seeing in my mind's eye. I really have the passion to propel this idea to where it needs to go. Then you're not going to see it show up in your objective reality as a complete image. You can't have one without the other.
Now, science has been able to detect that the heart communicates information to the brain throughout the body through electromagnetic field interactions, just like you said, and that they also have figured out that the heart generates the body's most powerful, inexpensive rhythmic electromagnetic field. Compared to the brain, the electrical heart field is about 60 times greater in amplitude.
and about 5,000 times stronger. Its magnetic ability component is about 5,000 times stronger than the brain's magnetic field, and that it could be detected real far away from the body when they use, you know, these, what do you call it, magnometers or magnetometers, real sensitive ones, they could detect it. So they have these satellites. It's an acronym, GOES satellites. I forget what it stands for. You can just type in G.O.E.S satellites. That's set up around the, you know, the country and the planet. And they're constantly measuring the magnetic field of the planet. And they found out around September 11, which is probably one of the most, you know, in the last 50, 60, 70 years, one of the most memorable days in this country because of what happened. And people from all over the country and the world experiencing something, they find out that, and particularly on that day, minutes, about 30 an hour, 60 minutes after the World Trade Center got hit, they found that the magnetic field of the country was affected tremendously, and they was wondering why there was these dips in it and these spikes and everything. And they figured out that the electromagnetic energy from the people were changing the Earth's, I mean, the magnetic field of that region. So with that being said, if we have the ability to change the magnetic field and alter reality just through our emotions, you sent me a picture of the Mike Brown vigil. That leads to that. How do events like, in particular, I'm focusing on the black community, what we go through on you know, on a day-to-day basis, what we've been seeing this year in particular, what do events like Mike Brown, Eric Garner, and these events that we see happening, how do you think it's a – do you think we're emitting the right emotions, or are we causing more of the same thing to happen because of the anger that we're emitting, or the rage that we're emitting? What's your take on our emotional response to these particular events?
Well, that's a two-pronged question, man, and I'm going to answer the best I can. The first of all, when you generate these feelings or these emotions, right, in your field, in your body, they can be used to propagate whatever you want them to propagate with selective intent, and that's key. Now, if we don't recognize how to tune in, right, because remember, in the quantum world, there's unlimited possibilities and probabilities, right, Rich?
Right.
So inside of that, if we know that, then we can choose. If it's collective enough, we can choose how we're going to take that magnetic energy that we are generating from our hearts into this quantum field and decide what event we want to see take place on this planet. Now, in the Mike Brown case, it's interesting. You saw on his tombstone, it read, "Star Power Prayers." That's what it reads on the tombstone, okay? Now, I interviewed his cousin, Joanna, about a week after he was killed down there. And I asked her, I said, "Do you know who left the tombstone there?" She said, "No." I asked around, and nobody knows who put that there. Well, Rich, those type of moments in history, and since we're specifically dealing with the sector of people called black people, right, who are looking for a response on how to deal with these particular situations. When you understand that collectively, when you have these heightened levels of emotion, if everybody is on the same pitch and they go in at the same time, it's a phenomenon that happens, Rich, where when multiple electrons, right, which are quantum particles, when they get stimulated at the same time, and inside of the law correspondence, let's just say it's 200 of us who are in the same group, who's seeing the same thing with this whole Mike Brown thing, and we decide to take that controlled level of emotion, whether it be anger or whatever it is, if we decide that we're going to tune in and drive that current, we can make events happen on this planet. But you have to be very specific about what you're going into that wave and pull out. So when electrons get stimulated, that 200 of us who are acting as electrons in this world, as human beings, when we stimulate through that emotion, you create something called lasers, Rich. When electrons get hot together in the same location, vibrating to the same pitch, they create what you and I know that science calls lasers. And lasers can be used as targets. So without me going into too much detail on air, when these type of events happen, you can use that control level of emotion and feeling in order to generate circumstances in the objective world once you tune in into that type of reality.
That's some deep stuff there. It's a whole other approach to dealing with these situations instead of being reactionary, I guess, huh?
And I want to say this too. I'm not talking from theory. I'm talking from practice. Like, you know, this has been demonstrated time and time again. We've been blowing the horn for about 2 years on this particular phenomenon, and I'm going to go on the record and say the ancestors of our people are facilitating some of these events in order for you to get riled up emotionally, but you keep on discharging the energy in an inappropriate manner because you don't understand the quantum world. It's not going to come through any other medium. You're going to have to tap into the unknown side to create events in this reality. And I give you an example. It was a case in China in this medical hospital that deals with nothing but organic healing. And it was a lady who was at the hospital bed, and she had a tumor, some type of cancer, if I'm not mistaken. And this hospital deals with none of the drugs or anything that actual hospitals in the West deal with. And what they did was they surrounded this woman. She believed, and let me say it again, because people got a hard time with that word believe, right, because everybody is so factamundo these days, right? She believed that it would work. And I talked about this before on the last show, dealing with the placebo effect. So you can throw cats as many stones as you want to at belief, but science has proven that belief can alter events in the physical body just from believing a certain thing is going to happen to you. So this woman was surrounded by these doctors who she believed, right, was going to be able to get rid of this tumor. These doctors surrounded her, began chanting these, and this is documented. You can actually view this and read about it. They began chanting these words that suggested in their subconscious mind over and over again that she was already healed. Even though she was sitting there and the tumor was still visible, in their mind's eye, they tapped into the quantum field and said, "We feel as if she's already healed." And they chanted there over and over and over again, and you just see this tumor dissolving inside of this woman's body as they continue to chant deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's the science behind the language and whatnot, but I just wanted to use that as an example to show people that what happens when people come together collectively, because it was a room for the doctors, three or four doctors surrounding this woman, and they performed what medical science would literally call a miracle. Imagine what you can do in the thousands, tapping into that same quantum reality, making things show up and disappear in this reality.
Okay, so this is where there's a sort of a, I'm glad you mentioned that. This is where there's sort of a discrepancy.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we just, I guess we left the era of all these organizations, and, you know, because of the internet, I guess people are leaving certain organizations and just, you know, doing the research for themselves. But for, you know, we've been here forever through organizations, through these quote-unquote master teachers, the power of words, the power of mantras, the power of saying, don't pray to this God, don't pray to this God. Pray, you have to say this God this way. You have to say this word 300 times in one given day, and magic will occur for you. So this is the scenario I want to present you with. And you're saying that you're talking about feeling and belief. Now, if you have a scenario, and before I say this, we're learning that the universe communicates to us through feelings via electromagnetic energy. So with that being said, if you have two brothers that say in a prayer to God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, infinite source, the source, there's many different names. One God prays to God and calls the God Osiris and reads the and says the prayer in the ancient Metu Neter, the ancient language of the Kemites. The other brother says the prayer in English, and he's praying to Jesus. And you have a sect of people saying Jesus never existed. And matter of fact, let me throw this on there while I'm saying this. Matter of fact, he's looking at a white Jesus while he's praying. So the brother's looking at a white Jesus while he's praying. The other brother's saying the prayer in the Metu Neter, with you know through the ancient language. Who does the universe hear? Does it matter the words that they use, or is it the feeling emitted through that prayer? If that brother praying in that white Jesus, if he believes strong enough in that white Jesus who may have never existed, does the universe still hear his prayer, or does the universe say, you're not using the correct words and the picture is inappropriate, so I can't communicate back to you? Or does the universe feel his feel?
The universe doesn't care about the picture. Listen.
So we care about the picture and we care about the words then.
Absolutely. Now I will say this too though. I'm glad this is a great question, man. The deal is this. The feeling amplifies what originates from the idea or from the mind. That is what's going to bring it into manifestation. It's like when you're dealing with feeling, right? We're dealing with the element of water, right? Because when you think emotions, you think feeling, you think the element of water, you think the moon, because, you know, we study the science of astrology too. So when you think about all these things, right, and you look at, because I want to show you how the feeling is the grounding agent. And when I say the grounding agent, I mean the buck stops at the feeling. That's what's going to generate the response. When you look at water, right, because everything is synonymous dealing with these laws of correspondence, right, when you look at the moment when a sexual act is about to take place, right, and you're dealing with a female's reproductive organs, it becomes moist. There's moisture there. She's about to receive an idea from the man that you call his seed. She's about to receive this idea that's loaded with all of this data, all of this imagery is already encoded into this seed. But there has to be an element of water there to receive the idea, right? Then at the moment where she's about to have the child, what happens, Rich? The water bag breaks. Which is symbolizing what? Now that the water has broken, now the ultimate manifestation of that idea is now about to be brought out into the objective world. So water, even when you look at water when it rains and it's thunderstorming, water always looks to find the lowest place to rest. So it's always looking to find the lowest denominator. What is the final of finals, that where things are being brought into this reality, right? So the feeling alone, the imagery is important, but that's part of the person's imagination that we talked about on the previous show. And we know that the imagination can create whatever it wants to.
Right.
It is the feeling that is going to perpetuate and bring into this world whatever the imagery was, or quote unquote the idea that was brought forth in manifestation from the user or from the creator itself. So it doesn't matter who you're going to pray to, which deity you want to use. And I don't want people to be mistaken, because I'm talking about a whole other level of manifesting and science. I'm not dealing with the, all the mind control stuff. I'm not talking about none of that.
Right.
I'm talking straight science. I'm not talking about all of the change and the roadblock and all that other stuff. That ain't what I'm here to discuss. I like to talk about taking people to the next plateau so that they can realize themselves as God down here and be able to create whatever it is that they want to create using these tools. So, that's really not. It's primarily how do you feel about it? How strong is your conviction that in what you're seeing in your mind's eye is going to predicate whether or not it's brought into this reality or not?
I think that's you answered that excellently, and I guess it's kind of sort of saying on a microscopic level, like when you have the woman waiting for that man seed, I guess the feminine aspect will be the feeling, and the seed that it's waiting for is the thought. The thought
Absolutely.
And the feeling produces the child, which is physical reality. So
Absolutely.
Mother and father, mother feeling, father thought, child reality. You know what I'm saying? So it's some deep stuff, brother. I want to ask you about this. One of the bestsellers on the New York Times bestsellers list, Power Up Now. Some people understand it, some people don't. But for the last decade or so, people have been talking a lot about the power of now and staying in the present and not thinking about the future or not thinking about the past or worrying about the future. What does the power of now mean to Minister Jew?
Well, I think the power of now in Minister Jew's mind symbolizes.
You break it up, Minister Jew.
Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I think in Minister Jew's mind, the power of now is simply stating, what they put on the market.
Wait. You're breaking up again, brother. You're breaking up again.
Uh-oh. All right. Can you hear me better now?
A little better, not like how it was in the beginning, though.
Okay, maybe I have to step out.
Perfect now. Yeah, perfect now.
Okay, it's better now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the power of now is basically saying that you need to be in the moment, at the moment. It's kind of sort of like the saying in the scriptures where it says, being still and knowing that I'm God. I think that phrase in and of itself is where you collect yourself in that moment to figure out what it is that you want to do moving forward. I always think that as creators, right, we have to be proactive and be able to see what it is that we want to pull into this reality or attract to ourselves. You know what I mean? So I hear that dialogue, but from my experience, based upon the things that I've been able to do in my life using this science that I talk about, it works better for me when I'm able to constantly be very specific about what it is that I want and start going in on these practices in order to draw it closer to me. So I hear that slogan a lot. And I don't knock it, because some people may get results from it, but I haven't really utilized it to the degree that a lot of people are reading into it and utilizing it for themselves, because I haven't been an avid practitioner of that particular philosophy.
I want to talk about money for a second. Well, we're talking about money because we're talking about us, so we are the money, but I guess you know what I'm saying.
you know, the dollar bills that everybody's trying to acquire. You know, some people say that to manifest money, sometimes, you know, everybody wants to manifest money.
Mm-hmm.
There's schools of thought that says in order to manifest money, sometimes you don't have to think about money. You have to think about, you could think about freedom, the emotion of freedom. When somebody thinks about freedom, they're thinking about just doing whatever they want, being free, moving. They may think about flying. They may think about just being worry-free. But mm-hmm. what this school of thought is saying, if you want to manifest something, they're saying think about the emotion that something creates, because that something is a circumstance. Emotions create circumstances. So if you want to manifest money, think about freedom and peace. If you just it's kind of like that person say, man, I got to think about money. What the fuck am I thinking about freedom and peace for? They're saying you can simply meditate, go to the park, look at water falling, and experience the peacefulness. Because when you get money, what it does sometimes to people is it alleviates stress, and they don't have to worry. So they feel a little freer. They could pay bills. Maybe they could take their wife out to dinner. Maybe they could take their kids somewhere. Maybe they could go on a trip to Egypt with Ashwa Kwesi. So when some people get these finances, it alleviates certain stress in their life, and they're able to free, less constrained, and they're able to maneuver and move around better. So the school of thought is saying it's okay to think about the money, but you can also think about the emotion of freedom and peace, and that will equate to money coming into your life. What do you think about that school of thought?
Well, you have to put yourself in a position where you're living as if the wish is already fulfilled.
Right.
That's the state. That is the state in order to which to manifest. Now, you answered the question. All of those things that you described, those are the things that you need to have in your awareness, right? When you're trying to manifest these dollars into your life, you have to see what things would I benefit from? What else would I be able to do with my time if I had more freedom, if I didn't have to go hit the clock, if I didn't have to do whatever? You know what I mean? If I was circulating finances in and out of my circle. You see what I'm saying? So you have to start thinking about and being very specific about the things that you want out of life. And like you said, not just thinking about the actual dollar amount, even though I've seen that happen. It was a show, I think it was in 97, Jim Carrey came on the Oprah show at the time, and he was talking about the rules and the laws of visualization. And at that time, Oprah wasn't on no game like that. She went into the Deepak Chopra thing. She wasn't really on it like that. And he came on and he was like, nobody really was checking out my services. Nobody really thought I was really good. So I decided to make me a check out to myself for $10 million. And he said on the check he put for acting services rendered. And he said he would put it in his pocket, and he said he used to ride around out in California and look at these homes and stuff that he would like to live in, even though he knew he couldn't afford it. He said he would do it every day. And he said on the check, he made it out for 3 years in advance for $10 million for acting services vendor. Do you know 3 years to the week, because he made it out for Thanksgiving, 3 years in the future, kind of broke the fake check. Three years later, Jim Carrey got his break for the movie Dumb and Dumber, and they paid him $10 million to do that movie.
Wow.
So, I want to give another example. So, I'm not saying that you cannot think about the money, but it's good for you to think about what it is that you can do and what it is that you want with the money. Like, you rode around looking at those homes. That was something that $10 million could go toward. You know what I mean? You have to think about what are you going to use it for. And those are the things that you need to put in your mind's eye, and what they call the bridge of incident will find its way to you. You'll hear something somebody's talking about, or you'll get a phone call from somebody. It's going to be an unexpected source that walks into your life, and mind you, you have to be repetitious with this thing over and over and over again, because the mind and the subconscious mind is acting like the developing room in your own mind. So you have to consistently drop this image down into this solution over and over and over again to get the image that you're looking for. But it is a science, man, and once we understand it, we can utilize it many ways, man. So I say, yes, you can think about the money, but it's better to be very, very specific about what you can use it for, because you can gain more of a feeling from that just than thinking about the money. You know, if you see your family in a home and they're secure, you know what I mean? You can gain a deeper feeling of sincerity and appreciation for that versus just thinking about the physical money. It helps generate and elevate the feeling, you know?
Right. I agree. I think it's important for the person to find out what generates that feeling for them. That's the beautiful thing about being intuitive and having a connection with that source, is that, you know, everybody's different, so we all know what generates that feeling if we're honest with ourselves, you know. So I guess everybody has to find what generates that feeling. That's another beautiful thing about this era we're living in, where, you know, we're going more, we have a better relationship with our higher self, a more intuitive relationship with our higher self, opposed to going to the master teacher all the time. Because what works for the master teacher may not work for you. So I think it's important everybody finds out what works for them. But I want to touch on a topic that a lot of people go through, Minister Jew, once they, you know, and like you said, we're dealing with science here, Minister Jew. We're not dealing with philosophy or, you know, religion or, you know, something to make you, something dogmatic. This is like, it is what it is. We're dealing with frequency, resonance. You know, these terms that we're using. Minister Jew, there's situations that occur. A person raises their frequency to a certain level. They're feeling good. They're feeling great, Minister Jew. They feel like they're on top of the world, Minister Jew. Now, somebody in their life, in their circle, family, friends, it could be a wife, could be a husband, it could be whoever, they're experiencing hurt. They're experiencing pain. They're experiencing discomfort. They come to you with it. Now, the person that's on top of the world wants to give a lending hand, but they don't want to give too much of a lending hand because they may drop down to the frequency of the person they're helping. So they're saying, oh, man, I want to be compassionate for this person, but after hearing this person on the phone for 2 hours tell me about all their drama, all their problems, I feel bad now. And I just felt like, motherfucking Superman an hour ago. Now I feel horrible. This dude or this woman just told me 15 different bad stories. So people are trying to find the lane where you could, you know, you could be compassionate for your fellow being without getting caught in that frequency, or without lowering your frequency to the extent where you go from feeling like Superman or Superwoman to just feeling down and out. So where's the line, where's the thin line between helping somebody and not hurting yourself?
Well, I never want to tell a person to be insensitive to somebody who they care about. However, there is a line that you draw when you see yourself being pulled in into that energy vortex. Now, this science that we're talking about can be applied not only to for money. This can be applied to health and any other aspect that we want to apply it to. Me and Ampu, Noble Ampu, we do it all the time, and you should see how it actually works. When you pray for somebody else, and here's the science. If you're not aware of this quantum reality, then it doesn't apply the same. It's just like, you know, if somebody doesn't know how to work a microwave, they're not going to be able to use it. You know, even though they got all these buttons are there, I can come in and be able to facilitate this thing with no problem because I understand the function. You have to understand the function of a thing before you can pick up the tools and be able to use it. You might get some results haphazardly just because, you know, that's just the nature of the device that you're using. But in order to really be able to be a pro and to master it, you must understand the functions and the dynamic of how a thing operates. Saying that, because that's the level that I'm speaking from, you can use this science to lift that person up just by doing the visualization that they are in such a state. That's how you help your friend. That's how you help your friend, to bring them up in that state. And before you know it, the next day they'll be calling too much. You know what? I feel better. Because I'm going to tell you something. The man whose imagination is alive, and I mean alive, and knows that it is God, other people in their circumference, and not just in their immediate circumference, you depending on your magnetism, this thing can stretch out from city to city. I've seen it. And maybe when we get an opportunity, Rich, we can build, and then I can come on and share it with the people. But people whose imagination are not at the level or the pitch to understand that they are the creators of their world become subject to the one who does know that. So that's why I say you have to use this thing wisely and always have love first in your heart, because you wouldn't want to use it in a negative way unless you, well, like I said in the first show, I use it to defend yourself. But in the case with your friend, lift them up in your mind, right? I was reading a study on prayer, right? And this benefits the user, too, who's doing it. They took this individual, these people, and said, listen, group A, we want you to pray for the people in group B. But the people in group B, Rich, they didn't even know how these people looked. They didn't even know these people's name. It was just a control group. When they did the prayer for these people, there were no results. Group B still remained in the same condition in the hospital. Well, they decided, let's take group A to go meet the people in the hospital, group B. And they saw these people, they got names of these people, but the people in group B who were getting prayed for didn't know that these people were praying for them. You know, when they went back and actually did the prayer with the people in mind, now because they had an image of the individual and a name attached to the individual, they saw dramatic changes in temperament and also physical ailment increase in the patients who had been prayed for, and the people who were doing the prayer, their moods increased because of the phenomenon. So when you understand that we're energetic beings, right, this becomes a two-way street and a mutual reception thing where we're able to exchange energy to one another. Even if one person is sending the energy, it operates as a reflecting agent and comes right back to you because you are the source, you see? Just like when you're talking to them and they're feeling bad, don't you get pulled down into that situation? Same thing. Same scenario.
So I guess that's how Christ tells people going through the quantum world.
Man, listen.
And not the objective world. The key is to always go to the subjective world, huh?
You have to always go to the subjective world. Until we map that out in our consciousness and go over and over and over again in that direction, we are going to keep running short. I want to, if we got time, Rich, I want to give people an example of how real this is real quick so people can see that this thing called the quantum, this space and time gap in between this thing depends upon the emotion of an individual. It's two situations. It's a current one and it's an old one. I start with the old one first. It was a book written by Morgan Roberson called Futility in 1898. All right. He was a struggling author and looking to, you know, put a book out that would get him some acclaim, to generate some revenue. In this book in 1898, he built a ship and in this book called Futility, this big old cruise liner sinks in the North Atlantic. In the book, it also ran into an iceberg. This is the way that it sank. It was 800 feet in length, and it was able to go 25 knots of speed. It was described as unsinkable. On the boat, in the book, it had a shortage of lifeboats. The capacity of the boat in the book was 3,000 people. It struck the iceberg on the way to, what did they call it, the Newfoundland, right, 460 miles away, right? And on this boat, half of the crew died. And the crew, the boat held like 2,300 people, so like 1,300 people died on the boat. Well, 14 years later, now remember, this is a quote-unquote fiction book, right? 14 years later, a boat was built that sank, went across the Atlantic, sank on the Atlantic, ran into an iceberg, was 882 feet in length, traveled 22.5 knots at speed, crashed in the month of April, was could carry the capacity of 3,000 people, et cetera, et cetera. Everything was identical to this boat called the Titanic, Rich.
Wow.
In the book, Futility, that came out in 1898, the boat crashed in the month of April in the book. 14 years later, the same month, the exact same speed, the exact same passenger count, the exact same length, all of these same things, it crashed into an iceberg, headed to the same place, on the same body of water, it sank. But here's the kicker. The real name of the boat we know in history today is the Titanic. The boat in the novel Futility in 1898 was called the Titan.
Wow, that was excellent.
There's no fiction in the world. Imagination creates reality. This is what I'm trying to get over to people. So you got a group today who they're labeling as a terrorist organization, right, who is going by a certain name that represents another entity over here at one point that used to go by the same name, right? But when you look into the ideology behind the group, you'll see that a lot of the emotionalism that was built on the group here is mirroring what these people are doing abroad on a show me scale, on an objective level. So we have to be very, very mindful about the power of our minds. And once we understand that we are the gods of this world, we learn that we create events from our thoughts and our ideas merged with a certain level of emotional elevation, and then it's going to show up somewhere in the objective world. Now, our memories are so bad sometimes we can't remember when we stirred these things up, but it's going to show up. It's going to show up.
Well, I certainly like to thank you for coming on the program, Minister June. And, you know, we're going to continue with it. It was an amazing show. Let me ask you one more question before we wrap it up, Minister June, because I need to get this in there, and I want to see what you have to say about this. Something else that's on my – let me see. I have two, but I'm trying to figure out there's a saying, and I'm going to put the book on the screen when I'm showing it to you while I'm saying this. I think I mentioned his name last program, Neville Goddard. I advise everybody who's listening to look into his work, Neville Goddard. I mean, his books are absolutely amazing. But in one of his books, he says that you already are everything you want to be, and your refusal to believe this is the only reason you do not see it. And several years ago,
I was having a phone conversation with Bobby Heaven when I was, you know, getting more and more into this type of information in quantum physics. I was having a conversation with Bobby Heaven on the phone. And Bobby Heaven was explaining to me how I exist outside the realms of space and time. And the only thing left for me to do was to celebrate. So at the time, I'm like, damn, that's all it is, just celebrate? I mean, to the average person here, if you know, if you walk up to somebody and say, man, only thing left to do is celebrate, the average person say celebrate, and at the time, I'm like, damn, well, I got this going on in my life, that going on in my life, this going on. Damn, that's all there's left for me to do is celebrate? So until you understand your multidimensional nature, you won't understand a comment like that, Minister June. But my question to you is, how important is it for us to understand our multidimensional nature? Because you have people saying, on one end, Neville or Bobby would say, listen, man, you're already everything you want to be. What the person will immediately do is to use their brain, and their brain will use logic, and logic will say, I don't have A, I don't have B, I don't have C, I don't have D, and I don't have E. How is that statement correct? It's impossible to be correct because my brain, my logic, my analytical ability just told me I don't have any of those things. So your brain, and it's like a little inner argument you have with yourself, where the brain tells you, what is this person talking about? But there's something deep inside you saying, dang, he's right, but I just don't know how to explain it to myself. I want you to explain that process in that inner dialogue we have with ourselves. It's like an inner argument. Can you
Okay, yeah. It's interesting. A couple of days ago, I was on Twitter, and I tweeted that to David Banner, almost exactly what you said, that, you know, because, you know, we're talking about black people, and we're talking about this condition black people have lumped themselves in. So that's the state that we've chosen to be in psychologically. Not knocking it, that's just, it is what it is. So if we're going to address that state, we're not going to be able to address it using the Mercurial principle. I don't care what you try to do on that level in this world, you're not going to get to where you need to be against what you're calling your said oppressor. It's not going to happen through that medium. You're going to have to go into the realm of Neptune, the realm of the unseen. You're going to have to go into that opposition that we call in astrology 12th house versus the 6th house, because, you know, Virgo is ruled by Mercury, Pisces is ruled by Neptune, the 12th and 6th house, it's just 180 degrees, they're opposite one another. So when the person is talking to you that way, like, they're operating from a Neptunian place. Now, you can use it with your mercurial mind and your logic if you awaken to the fact that you're a god in the flesh and that you create your reality through your imagination. That's when it becomes plausible and usable, because you're able to see tangible things show up in your reality from using that gift that you have to reawaken as God in this reality. If you don't use it in that sense, right, then it's always going to seem like a bunch of babble, and you're not going to be able to understand it and or express it. But in this world, if we're going to have any form of revolution, it's going to have to come through the seal on the wheel, which is that 12th house energy and the Neptunian force. That's how this thing is going to move and shake. So if you don't understand it from that level, you're never going to get it. You're going to always be stuck dealing with your rationale and your logic. But like I tell people all the time, when you look at things on this planet, when you know, they got planets that are made of nothing but diamonds. Like, this, what you think is impossible is nothing to the universal field or the universal mind or God or whatever term you want to use. So if we can understand that anything can be created, anything can be created, right, then we have to use Mercury and rational and logic for what it's for. But when it's time to step up to play on the big scale, We have to go Neptunian and be able to create from nothing, but and know that everything exists and everything is possible to exist out of that state of awareness. So, you know, that's really the best way that I can answer that, man. You have to know how to use it. You have to know how to create using what Neville would say or Bobby would say is your universal self, your 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th dimensional self. You have to be able to use it plausibly in this reality through the Mercurial principle, through these steps, through understanding the function and learning these things, which is a Mercurial thing. But outside of that, if you don't apply it, then you'll never understand it. You'll never understand it.
Once again, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show, Minister Jew. At this time, I would like for you to leave your contact information, any your websites, whatever, social media, anything you want to leave for the people to get in contact with you and learn more about you, brother.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, Rich, man. As always, man, beautiful bill with you, man. I wanted to say thanks again. But to the people out there who's listening, visit me on theneuronnetwork.com and myastrologycoach.com. We got a phenomenal, phenomenal workbook coming out in the next 20 days called The Mystic Brains Workbook, Anatomy 101. We're going to get people acclimated with this brain science so that we can take them into the mystical level. But first, we want you to understand some of the regular functions of the brain so that when we get into the mystical aspect and how the electricity starts to move in the brain, when you start reorganizing your consciousness, how things start to change for you in this reality, you're going to have to get that workbook first. So that's first up. So visit the website, go to shop, you'll be able to see it there. Also, visit the website, myastrologycoach.com. We're going to Orlando, Florida for the spring equinox. So get yourself together early. You got plenty of time, but don't wait till the last minute. Act. You know what I mean? Plan in advance so that you can be there. It's going to be phenomenal. We're doing the skydive when we get there. We're going to jump out the plane from 11,000 feet up. We're expressing to people, release your fears. You have to let go. Release your fears. Everything that you think you can't do, the limitations, let it go because that's what's stopping you from imagining the greatest. That's what's stopping you from realizing that I am, you see? So we're stepping into that arena. We're going to do some jet skiing. We're going to do a fire meditation on the beach. It's going to be off the chain. I'm going to be lecturing down there, giving a full-blown imagination workshop. Noble's going to be dealing with the heart and the coherence, the global coherence, and it's going to be called the I Have Workshop, which is an acronym for happiness. What do we call it? Happiness as a virtue empowerment. Come and get you a happiness as a virtue empowerment. We want people to understand that it's all right to be happy. Change your mood because that should dictate your circumstances. Your circumstances shouldn't dictate your mood. So when you learn that, you'll be able to apply it and you'll see your life change for the better. Outside of that, man, that's pretty much it, man. And, you know, just visit the website, man. When you go over to Neuron Network or My Astrology Coach, leave your emails over there. We send out messages every month to stay abreast with us for what we got going on, what we got coming up. And I think that's pretty much it, man.
Well, hey, man, once again, thank you, brother, being on the show. You know, this is my love right here, this quantum talk, you know, this heart talk, this feeling talk, you know. When I ask my questions, I make sure I ask them with a certain emotional intention with them so that it's not just a question, a person. I want a person to feel me. I don't want my listeners to hear me. I want them to feel me when I ask my questions. And that way, the interview will go better and things will resonate better with them. So, you know, rewind this. Listen to it again. Look up Neville Goddard. And that's going to lead you to many more things. This Underground Railroad, Brother Rich Minister Jew, and we signing out, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
The trigger you brought me to an obstructive view. when you know the picture was bigger, who am I kidding? Knew from the beginning, you ruin everything, every time. You are no friend of my motherfucker. You motherfucking bright, you motherfucking bright, I'm bitter. You motherfucking bright, I'm triggered. You motherfucking bright, I tryna let the time fly, tryna let the time go by, tryna let the time heal all, tryna let the time kill all of our memories, all you meant to me, all that history, all that's history. I'll calm down eventually, calm down, calm down eventually.
There's really no pretending, there's really no fail, there's really no Everything must go.